What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, May 27th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I feel like today is an especially harsh Tuesday, like coming off of a beautiful Monday, off from work, Memorial Day weekend, away, probably with friends or family. I saw Beyonce on Sunday night, which was very fun. I'll say, after seeing both Beyonce and Taylor Swift over the past 2 years, however long it was Taylor was in Philly for the Eras Tour, like, obviously, I think two of, if not the two most successful female artists of all time. I'm sure James would bring up someone from back in the day that I'm not thinking about. But just comparing their two concerts, it is crazy. Like, just to see a concert of that magnitude, like the stage, it was like almost 4 hours, like hit after hit after hit. And I do feel like the Beyonce concert was probably better than the Taylor Swift concert. I feel like the Taylor Swift concert kind of felt more of like an event because Beyonce tours every year. Whereas I think Beyonce, just from the jump, like just the mute, like it was like a party the entire time. So anyway, I don't know why you guys would care about that, but these daily Go Birds are kind of like my daily chance to talk to you, a daily journal. So I just wanted to share that. I hope you all had a great Memorial Day weekend. I'll be back on Go Birds next Saturday. So excited to hear what you guys did over the weekend. I have a crazy story from the Hamptons that I probably will share on the pod, but if not, it could be a very good, like, I would love to tell you if you saw me in person. So anyway, let's get into the news of the day, which is the Eagles. And the Eagles, you know, I will say in a good way for them, a quiet few days. Nothing really big happened. No major roster moves. No major rumors. It was probably nice for them to get away. There was a clip of Nick Sirianni down in Avalon where it looked like he was maybe out to dinner with his family, and everybody sang the Eagles fight song to him. You know, he waved high, he had his kid on his shoulders. Hopefully that didn't, you know, upset the people that hate when he brings his kids out. But yeah, seems like it was a nice relaxing day. They're back to work today at the NovaCare. I believe on Wednesday we are likely going to get a chance to hear from some players, so that will be fun after hearing from AJ, you know, Jalen. Maybe we'll get Saquon this week, maybe not, but it'll be fun. So keep an eye out for that on Wednesday, but we'll talk about that on the Wednesday and Thursday daily Go Birds. All right, so what I wanted to talk about was something that came out last week, but I wanted to spend a little more time than I had last week where there was some other things going on. But Chris Sims, our old buddy, you know, talked to him at the Super Bowl. I am a Chris Sims guy. I know that's sacrilegious in the Eagles community, but I just think he's interesting. And look, I hate when people do the whole, well, he wasn't a good quarterback, so what does he know? Like, he played in the NFL. He's one of the top 3% of people in the world that are good at playing quarterback. So I do respect his opinion. And for what it's worth, he said prior to the Super Bowl that he was picking the Eagles to win. He was complimentary of Jalen. He's moved Jalen up his quarterback rankings. But the clip that went viral last week is of Chris Sims talking about Jalen. And I believe he's on the Colin Cowherd show talking about the quarterback rankings from Pro Football Focus, which we will go over as well. But here's Chris Sims kind of, you know, voicing some skepticism about the fact that Jalen came in at fifth on the rankings.
Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Matt Stafford, and Herbert. But are you comfortable with tier two?
I would put CJ Stroud in front of over there in front of Jalen Hurts. We have a little bit of a revisionist history here. He won the Super Bowl and everybody just forgot about the 10 weeks before that we were like, wait, the passing game and the quarterback was the issue. His top receiver said, what's wrong with the team? The passing game. So how can now you be one of the best quarterbacks in the game? I think I would have CJ Stroud in his place on that tier.
So Chris Sims jumps right back into the, you know, everyone on Eagles Twitter is mad at him because he's hating on Jalen Hurts. And, you know, let's just talk about the list first, right? So the Pro Football Focus list they do it by tiers. So tier one, they have Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen in that order. 1, 2, 3, 4. Tier two, high-end starters, and that's where Jalen comes in. In Pro Football Focus writes, Jalen Hurts' 2024 campaign, capped by an impressive Super Bowl run, was a return to form after a turbulent 2023 season. A year earlier, Hurts too often pressed in high leverage moments and struggled under pressure, but he flipped the script this past season, showing poise and control even when things broke down around him. After a slow start, he found his rhythm and delivered when it mattered most. Over the past three seasons, his 91.5 overall grade ranks fifth among all quarterbacks. So Jalen finds himself outside of tier one, but the first quarterback outside of tier one, and he's ahead of Jaden Daniels and the other quarterbacks in the high end starters is obviously Jalen number five, Jaden Daniels number six, Matthew Stafford number seven, Justin Herbert number eight. And then we get to the third tier who are solid starters who have flashed high end play. So let's try to take like a glass half full look at this. And I completely understand if you're listening and you're a big Jalen, you know, big Jalen supporter, and you're like, why is he not in that first tier? First, the fact that he is in the second tier and ranked fifth, I do think is obviously a massive step up for him. 2023 was not a good season. You know, there were times when we talked on this pod about like, could he be back in 2020? In 2025 if he had a bad 2024. Obviously, that ended up not being the case. He had a really good 2024. Now, what Chris Sims brings up in there, I think is also a fair point. Like, we talked a lot on this pod, on WIP, about the fact that the passing game did struggle. AJ Brown talked about that. Now, where I think people lose credibility is not the right word, but where I like disagree with people's points and where I disagree with Pro Football Focus to an extent and where I disagree with Chris Sims is, like, the playoffs did happen. The championship game and the Super Bowl did happen. So while, yes, there are definitely games throughout the season Jalen could have played better. Beginning of the season, he wasn't great. He was turning over the ball. Obviously, we all know at the bye week, they kind of shift offensive philosophy. He ends up throwing it a few times less per game. He still had, like, a great season. I mean, there's no question from week one to week 17, Jalen had a very good season. Would you sign up for that every year? Like, if you took away the win losses and just took that level of play, like, maybe you wouldn't, because I do think that what he did in the playoffs is a sign of what he could be. And I also think that he can be better. Like, I think he was probably better in 2022 than he was in 2024. But regardless, when you look at why, like, Chris Sims brings up, well, the passing game struggled for 10 weeks. First of all, I don't completely agree with that. But second of all, that just shouldn't matter as much as what he did in the biggest spots. And as I've said before on this pod, it also really resonates with me that when they had to pass the ball, they did pass the ball. When there was a ton of criticism about it, they came out the next week and they lit the Steelers up through the air. In the championship game and the Super Bowl, obviously he was outstanding. So I definitely agree, and I think this is where me and some of the other, like, Jalen skeptics kind of part ways, is I don't even disagree that he could have played better during the year. I do agree the passing game can be better next year, but I think that focusing on those criticisms or those things are focusing on, like, the fifth or sixth most important thing that happened last year. Number one, he was a Super Bowl MVP, and he was a good enough quarterback for them to win the Super Bowl. Full stop, that's exactly what happened. And if you want to say it's like, you know, well, it's going to be tough to do again. They almost won the Super Bowl with him in 2022. So obviously, Jalen is a quarterback. As your starter, you can absolutely 1,000% win a Super Bowl with. Two, after that, he did play amazing in the playoffs. And I can't be someone, like, let's use Joel Embiid here. Joel Embiid is not as good in the playoffs as he is in the regular season, right? He's just not. You look at the stats, like, just not. Jalen being better in the playoffs matters more to me than how he is in the regular season. Now, would you love him to be the player he was in the Super Bowl all the weeks of the season? Of course. But that would be an extremely high bar. His pass rating was like 115, I think, over those 2 weeks. That's not really realistic for an entire season. He's going to have ebbs and flows. But at the end of the day, after covering Jalen his entire career, I can confidently sit here and say he's a quarterback you can trust in big moments. So now you get back to the quarterback rankings and, you know, Patrick Mahomes, number one. I completely agree with that. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. So let's talk about those three compared to Jalen. I do think that those three quarterbacks are more talented than Jalen Hurts. I think they have more, like, God-given ability in their body. Josh Allen is bigger, can throw the ball better, like, is just as dangerous as a runner. Lamar Jackson might be the best rushing quarterback we've ever seen. He flicks his wrist and the ball travels 80 yards. And Joe Burrow, like, he is a clinical pocket passer. He is unbelievably accurate. If he has time, he can be lethal, right? But They all don't have something Jalen has. And I know this infuriates the Jalen critics, but it just is what it is. Jalen has a Super Bowl and those three don't. And you could go like, well, they got to go through Patrick Mahomes. Jalen's played Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. The AFC is harder. I'm not completely sure that's true, but regardless, and I look, I get the quarterback play is better in the AFC. All these guys are in the AFC. But like, that is what it is, right? Like when Tom Brady was running through like a horrendous AFC East and a average AFC for the majority of his career, we don't look at that now and say that, right? Like he's the GOAT. So I do agree that in a draft, and I love to do this, in a draft of all the quarterbacks, I absolutely think those would be the first four players taken. No question about it. But I think that's a different way than ranking quarterbacks. I think when you rank quarterbacks, you have to take into account resume. Like it's two different types of lists. So I think Chris Sims is correct that I get that the struggles of the passing game throughout the season is a good reason to potentially put those four ahead of Jalen. But you have to consider the Super Bowl. And when Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen don't have one, then that matters. And so I would put Jalen into tier one quarterback. He has been to two Super Bowls in 3 years. He is clearly a big part of what they do. You could say Saquon's a huge part, but he already took them there before. He helps the running game. He helped them win the Super Bowl. So I believe Jalen belonged in the tier one category. Do I think it's like a horrendous, massive slap in the face to have him at five right outside those top four? No, I think a year ago we would have absolutely signed up for saying Jalen's going to be fifth on that list, right? So while I personally put him second, because I think if Mahomes is going to be one over those other three simply because of the Super Bowl, you also have to consider that for Jalen. I also think that the fact that as a collective fan base, Eagles fans can be mad about the fact Jalen is number five really speaks to how far he has come in the past year. So anyway, I've been thinking about that for a few days, thought about it all weekend because what else do I do besides think about the Eagles? So just wanted to get that off my chest about these quarterback rankings and where Jalen is at. On the other side, there was a little bit of news in the NFL, which could have an impact on the Eagles. So we'll get into that on the other side. And it's not even Tush Push related. So first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so now that the NFL has failed at taking the tush push away from the Eagles, it does seem like we can now look and see what their next attempt to impact how the Eagles do things, what their next attempt at trying to hurt the Eagles is. And I don't think this is directly targeted, but there's just no getting around the fact that it sounds like this is going to be something they want to change because of something the Eagles do. And it must be interesting to be a team that just none of this ever matters. Like you're like the Panthers and it's like, well, we don't run the tush push. I'm not really impacted in that. And now with this salary cap stuff, we'll talk about in a second. Like it's absolutely about the Eagles. I don't think they are targeting the Eagles specifically like they were for the tush push, but I think if Howie didn't do what he did, this wouldn't be a talking point. So anyway, the news is that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said owners had a lengthy discussion at the league meetings about the salary cap system, how well it's working, whether teams are operating within its intended spirit, and what changes might be needed in the next round of collective bargaining within the players' union. I'm reading this off a tweet. In short, owners are already looking ahead to potential changes to keep the system fair, competitive, and free of loopholes. Obviously, I'm reading there. I feel like you can tell via my voice when I'm reading, but basically, here's what this means. They want to go after the fact that teams are essentially circumventing the salary cap. And what does that mean? So this was from a piece from Albert Breer right after the Eagles won the Super Bowl that I think does a really good, like, simplistic way of explaining how the Eagles essentially circumvent the salary cap. So Albert Breer writes, the Eagles have a dozen players making more than $10 million per year, with that group's total average salary per year adding up to just over $251 million. So just to wrap that up, dozen players should be counting $251 million against the salary cap. Now Albert Breer writes, the same 12 guys count for only a little more than $107 million on the cap. There's no magic to that. Getting that number that low is a matter of simple accounting. But there is commitment it takes from ownership, with it enabling the Eagles to stack the roster by spreading way over the cap, spending way over the cap. So essentially, if you look at that, the Eagles are getting the 12 players for about half of what their average salaries are. And just to explain how they do that quickly, I feel like the Go Birds audience is a very smart, educated audience on the cap. But for those that are potentially new listeners, welcome to the Daily Pod. Basically, what they'll do is they'll give AJ Brown, let's just use him, and we'll use easy numbers, 5 years, $100 million. So 5 years, $100 million, that's a $20 million average. But they'll make that contract like an eight-year contract by putting dummy years at the end. And dummy years of a contract are essentially years that will never happen. So AJ's under contract for 5 years, but technically his contract is 8 years. So if you take that $100 million and you divide it over eight instead of five, it goes from a $20 million a year hit on the cap, roughly, to a $12 million hit, $12.5 million. So that's how the Eagles circumvent it. They give their players, and when I say they, Jeffrey Lurie and ownership, gives their players huge signing bonuses, and that allows Howie to then spread it out over a bunch of years. Now, that's not cheating. That's not, it's not even really circumventing, but like what it is it's a smart accounting way to go about making your roster better when you have owners that are willing to pay a lot of money. What I think the NFL is going to do is get rid of dummy years so that if you're the Eagles, you lose the benefit of cutting a huge signing bonus check in a way, right? Because you can't spread it out as much. So now these players, like the 12 million or the 10 that make a 12 million or more or whatever it was, those players that should be $251 million on the cap, and now they're 107 or whatever it was, it goes back to the 251. So for all the talk about the tush push and like how that could hurt the Eagles, if the NFL actually comes after dummy years, it does take a major advantage away from the Eagles. And there's other teams that do it. Other teams have owners that pay. But the Eagles started this, and Jeffrey Lurie, it is one of the benefits of having a great owner. Like, if you're the Bengals, you don't get to do this stuff. If you're the Giants, they don't do this stuff just because they're a poorly run team. But the Eagles get to do it because they're a well-run team and they have a rich owner. If the NFL comes after the Eagles and takes away the salary cap, like, kind of thing, and to be clear, I think this would be a few years away. It's in the new collective bargaining agreement. This is not something the current iteration of the Eagles have to worry about, because by the time this comes into effect, like, honestly, a good portion of these players will probably be gone. But what it will do is it'll force the Eagles to find a new way to go about getting a competitive advantage. Now, they are a smart, well-run team, so I think they'll figure out that way. But the tush push gets the headlines. It gets, you know, 3 years of coverage. The NFL going after teams circumventing. And to be clear, this is happening because poor owners that don't want to spend money feel like it's unfair that these rich owners who do spend money, and by obviously comparatively, all these guys are dumb rich, but comparatively, they spend more money, Jeffrey Lurie does, in cash than these other owners do, and so they get to circumvent the cap. These owners are coming after the teams doing that because it's making it harder for them to compete, because look at the Eagles roster. And also, it probably is, once again, not a coincidence that the Eagles just built one of the best teams we've seen in NFL history with tons of stars and still have a ton of cap space, and now all of a sudden they're going after them. So yeah, this is going to be something we'll talk about multiple times over the next few years, probably a ton of times on the pod. But for as much as the tush push got attention, the NFL really coming after the Eagles with this is a much bigger deal. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. I hope you all try to enjoy your Tuesday. It is a rough Tuesday, but guess what? Tomorrow's already Wednesday. And when tomorrow's already Wednesday, that means Friday's only a few days away. So everyone enjoy your day. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.